Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Inspired to Change series. How many know that God always has more for you of Him? And only more of the good things on the other side of that door we're looking at. Amen. So today's message is going to be entitled, Inspired for More of God. Inspired for More of God. In the church world, today is known as Pentecost Sunday. You heard that a few moments ago with the praise and worship team who did a wonderful job this morning. You know, for the nation of Israel under the Old Testament, Pentecost was celebrated 50 days after Passover or the death of Jesus Christ. Pentecost was known as one of the seven feasts of the Lord that are recorded in Leviticus 23. Amen. And in a moment, we're going to be looking at that, but before we move on that, notice I said it's Pentecost is what is known in the Bible as one of the seven feasts of the Lord. In Leviticus 23, which we won't turn there, but you write this down, and verses 2 and 3, you can find actually in the chapter the seven feasts of the Lord. I want to take a moment and talk about this because this is important. The word feast there is the Hebrew word which is Moed. And Moeds were known as divine appointments. In other words, they were appointments of God with man. And actually, Moed means to keep an appointment. In other words, they were God-given appointments with man. Amen. And so we find that the scripture calls these Moeds, or these divine appointments that God had with man, known as holy convocations. That is there in both Leviticus 23, verse 2 and 3. Let me explain what holy convocation. The word holy means set apart, but convocation means a rehearsal or a recital for an assembly. In this case, the children of Israel. In other words, God was illustrating something to them. They were actually acting out part of the will of God. Every time they assembled for these feast days or these appointments, divine appointments, what they were actually doing, whether they knew it or not, they were rehearsing, or through it, they were actually preaching a message to everyone about the will of God. And actually, what we find is each feast or appointment taught on various aspects of God's plan for man. Now, I'm not telling you this to bore you. I'm telling you this because there's a reason why you need to know it. There's nothing in the scripture that is not important for us to know. Many times we read things, and because we don't really understand it, we kind of skip through it. However, these seven feasts of the Lord are very significant because they are God's appointed times with man. For each feast or appointment taught on various aspects of God's plan for us, for mankind. Amen. Not just for Israel, but for everyone. And these Moeds or appointments were God's divine meetings with man to reveal himself and his plan of redemption to man and how that would actually affect them. So here's what we need to understand. Whatever happened on these appointments reveals God's will for man. Whatever we see happening in these feasts, what was designed to do was to reveal this is the will of God for man. Amen. So keep that in mind. Now I'm going to, on slide 26, if they put this up for me, there are seven feasts. I thought it was worth going over these. We do this very quickly, but there's a significance because remember, these feasts are appointments. Everybody say appointments. These rehearsals or recitals are appointments that God is teaching man His will for their lives. These seven feasts were known as Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruit, Pentecost, Trumpets, Atonement, and Tabernacles. So here's what we find. The first four feasts actually teach us on Christ's first coming. In other words, Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, and Pentecost taught or pointed to Christ's first coming. And since Christ has already come, how many know we look back at that and we can see the fulfillment, and we'll talk about the fulfillment about that in one moment. But the second or the last three, Trumpets, Atonement, and Tabernacles, teach about the future. They teach about the second coming of Christ. And they reveal God's plan. Both first and second comings are tied to God's plan for man's redemption. And how many know that all reveal the will of God for our lives? So whatever's in those feasts reveal it's God's will for man to receive it. Amen. So let me give you an example of this. Slide 27, please. So we'll look at where we currently at. Notice here that since the Passover, Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, and Pentecost, they had to do with the first coming. How many know that we're looking back? They've been fulfilled. How were they fulfilled? Well, the Passover taught us about Christ's first coming and his death. How many know Passover talked about Christ's death? How many know for us? How many know that it was God's will for Christ to die for the sin of the world so you and I could be saved? The Feast of Unleavened Bread, number two, taught about his burial and how he put away and destroyed the power of sin over humanity. Amen. Through his burial. Number three, First Fruits taught about the resurrection of Christ and how through the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, having to know that we too, through our faith in Christ, have been raised up together and made to sit together with Christ in heavenly places. And according to Ephesians chapter 1 and chapter 2, these are the things that this is teaching us. But last but not least, the day of Pentecost. Now, remember, I said that Pentecost occurred 50 days after Passover. In other words, when Christ died, 50 days counting was Pentecost, or this taught about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In a few moments, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, when we see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so we find here that whatever happened on any of these appointments reveal God's will for man. So how many know it was God's will for not only Christ to die and be buried and raised again, but how that would affect us? Through faith in Christ, we could be saved. And we could die to our sin and the power of that be broken. And we be raised together in newness of life and receive God's life and power. Amen. But notice here that Pentecost teaches us another aspect of the will of God. And it was God's will for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to come to earth to affect all mankind. This means that whatever happened on the day of Pentecost, it was the will of God, not just for those in the upper room. It was the will of God for every succeeding generation until Christ comes in his second coming. And so this is how it was designed to affect us. And so Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, therefore, is vital and it's important. It's God's appointment with man was actually, in this case, concerning this, fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. We see this in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit was poured out and those believers in the upper room were filled with the Holy Spirit. But here's what I want us to understand. This is no longer a rehearsal showing us what was to come. But this shows us the Holy Spirit has come, and now from that point on, He and His power is to be received for all mankind. It is to change every believer and change this whole earth, because it should be written of us, they are they that turned the world upside down, as it was with the early church. Why? Because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and man receiving the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so this is why we should be inspired for more of God. God doesn't have less as we approach the second coming of Christ. God only has more. And we need more of God in order to fulfill the plan and purpose of God that God has for our life. In other words, the more of God of everything that He's willed for us. And these feasts or these appointments teach us about the more of God. They teach us what God has for us and what He wants for us. And we can see clearly one of the things that He wanted for us was not just salvation, which it was, it begins there, but He wants us all to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Like they were on the day of Pentecost. Can I get amen in here today? So here's something that we need to understand. I realize today that I'm talking to mainly believers in here. But as we are discipled and we learn the truth of God's word, you know, a disciple is the reason why we need to be discipled, because Jesus said, they that are truly discipled, they'll know the truth and the truth will make them free. It's only disciples that are made that walk in freedom. And these truths are truths that were designed to bring freedom, to bring liberty, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. And so we need to understand a couple of things that are very important for us. Number one, Jesus is Father God's gift to the entire world. How many know that God the Father gives good gifts? We're going to look at some of them today. But Jesus is God the Father's gift to the entire world. Do you understand that? I'm going to say that again, because we can hear things and even read the scripture that I'm going to tell you about. But if we don't understand the significance of that, then we fall short on the next statement that I'm going to say. Jesus, this is the first statement. Jesus is God the Father's gift to the entire world. This is why John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Notice whosoever. That means for any and every sinner that would know about Christ coming and His saving love, we, by accepting Jesus Christ, can be saved and actually become sons of God. Christ, in coming, in His first coming, He originally was the only begotten Son of God. But He's listed now as the first begotten, and now everyone that's received Him since become sons and daughters of God as well. Isn't that a privilege? We do that through the gift of salvation, which Christ is the one who came. The Father gave Jesus to the world as a gift so that the world could be saved. Now, with that being said and understood, the Holy Spirit, however, is the Father's gift to His children. Once we're saved, we understand that the Holy Spirit is God's gift to His children. Let's read this. One place that we can read this is at in John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Let's read this together. It says, and I will pray, this is the words of Jesus, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Notice the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, would abide with you. Would abide with you. Would abide with you. But notice He goes on and says in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the world cannot receive. The world cannot receive. The world can receive Jesus, but the world doesn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You've got to be saved first. The world receives Christ. The believer receives this next work of the Holy Spirit. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knoweth him, but you shall know him, for he shall dwell with you, but he shall also be in you. Isn't it powerful to know that through the giving of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit went from being with the disciples to actually living in the disciples? Amen. And then we're going to find that the Holy Spirit doesn't stop there. The Holy Spirit comes upon us. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But this illustrates the simple point that I want us to understand. Jesus is the Father's gift to the entire world. Whosoever will can come to Christ or can come to the Father through Christ and be saved. But the Holy Spirit is the Father's gift to His church. Amen. And how many know that we need to understand that? Therefore, it is important for us to understand the dual working, the dual, D-U-A-L, means the two-sided working of the Holy Spirit. Having to know it would be important for us to understand if He has a dual work, then we need to know what that dual work is. The dual work of the Holy Spirit is, number one, the Holy Spirit within every believer. In the born-again believer, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us, to recreate our human spirits, and we're born again. The Holy Spirit in the new birth, we have the Spirit within. And then the Holy Spirit, the second working of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God coming upon us. And the Spirit of God coming upon the believer is when we're filled with the Holy Spirit like they were on the day of Pentecost. And so the dual working of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit within and the Spirit upon. The Spirit within by being born again. Every born again believer has the Holy Spirit within their spirits. They're born of the Spirit. That's how you have the Holy Spirit and how your spirit's recreated through the Holy Spirit. So you do have the Holy Spirit. You're born of the Spirit. But there's another experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And through that, the Spirit comes upon us. It comes upon us. Amen. So these are the two works of the same Spirit. One within and one upon. Can I get an amen? In John 16:7, Jesus said concerning the Holy Spirit's given. Now just think about this. Pentecost is teaching us about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and how this was God's appointment with mankind, and it shows God's will for all of mankind from the day of Pentecost until His second coming. This is illustrating whatever happened on Pentecost is God's will for every believer. Not a select few, but for every believer. Jesus taught us in John 16:7 that the Holy Spirit's coming to fill us was, notice here, nevertheless I tell you the truth, it is expedient. Everybody say expedient. For you that I go away. Jesus said it's going to be, in other words, the word expedient there means better for you, to your advantage or profitable to you. He said that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Amen. So notice Jesus taught that the Holy Spirit's coming would be to our benefit. Because it would profit us, it would be to our advantage, it would be better for us. And here's it, not only better for us, but it's better for the world. You know why? Because when Jesus walked this earth, He was the only person that was filled with the Holy Spirit. But through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, what began in the upper room would spread to every person on the earth that was saved and received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so, in other words, not only was Jesus, now it goes from Jesus being the only one that was filled with the Holy Spirit and did really the signs, wonders, and miracles, and now it would be a whole group, God's people, God's family, that was filled with the Holy Spirit that would do the same works of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for your enthusiasm today. Praise God. How many know that God is designed to get us out of the pew into the out into the streets and do something for Him? Amen. And you know what? Part of that greatest fulfillment is when we do, because there's something on the inside that causes us that to be addictive to us. When we see other people helped and changed just like we were, and we're part of that to other people, there is no high like the Most High. I can tell you, when you start winning people to Christ and helping people grow in Christ and getting people filled with the Holy Spirit or seeing people healed and delivered, that becomes addictive, church. And the devil will fight that tooth and toenail to make you feel like, you know, you don't qualify. You're not this and you're not that. Or to keep you, well, you know, you're shy. And all those lies he will try to tell you. When all we need to do is get filled with the Holy Ghost, get our minds renewed with the Word of God, and then release the power of God into the world in which we go to. Because God has called us to do that. Now think about that Jesus only comes to give us good things. Every good and perfect gift comes down of the Father of lights, who there is no variableness or shadow of turning. Luke 11, please, verse 13, in the Amplified Translation, Jesus said concerning the Holy Spirit, if you then, evil as you are, know how to give good gifts. Everybody say good gifts. Notice how the Amplified defines these good gifts. Gifts that are to their advantage. God gives us gifts to our advantage. To your children. If you then, evil as you are, know how to give good gifts to your children, gifts to their advantage, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit, who is a gift to your advantage, to those who ask and continue to ask Him? In other words, not only are we to be initially filled, we're to be refilled. Come on, not only are we to be initially filled, but we're to be refilled with the Spirit of God, because God fills us to spill us. Ha, glory to God. So I hope we can see this. This tells us that being filled with the Holy Spirit certainly is to our advantage, because it's a gift that the Holy Spirit gives. Now let me explain this. In salvation or the new birth, most of you know this, but I'm driving this point home. Because you, as you grow and as you're winning other people to Christ and getting them the will of God, which would be getting them the baptism of the Holy Spirit and helping people receive everything that's willed by God for them, then you need to understand this, because they will ask questions that if you don't know, then many times that trips you up. If you don't know the answer to the question, don't let that trip you up. Share what you do know. Share what you do know that God's Word says. And say, tell them, just say, look, I don't know the answer to that. I'll get back with you. But listen, this is what I do know. I do know that Jesus will save you. I do know that it's God's will to fill you with the Holy Ghost. So let's talk about this. In salvation, you get born again, or you get the new birth. You are born of the Spirit, and you have the Holy Spirit within you, yes. But you do not have all the Holy Spirit there is. You do have the Holy Spirit. You have this Holy Spirit within you. Yes, you're born of the Spirit. But in the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes upon us and we are filled with the Holy Spirit. What that is a deeper and a different and a deeper dimension of God's life and power for His children. Jesus said the baptism of the Holy Spirit was necessary and for power to be His witnesses. And Acts 1:8, follow there with me if you would. Jesus said, but you shall receive power. Everybody say power. I don't know about you, but I need power. Spiritual power. Spiritual power. Spiritual power, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, spiritual forces that shape life on this earth. That is what we must stand against in the victory that Jesus has already provided for us, and it's going to require spiritual strength. And we get that from being filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, there's a great measure of that in the life, in the nature of God by being born of the Spirit. But Jesus knows what's best for us. He said, I don't want you to just be born of the Spirit. I want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Remember, salvation, the Holy Spirit's within you. But now the Spirit of God being poured out comes upon you. For why? And for power, and you shall be my witnesses, both unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. In other words, what he's saying to his disciples, not only am I going to empower you to reach your own people group, the Jews, I'm going to empower you to reach the rest of the world, the Gentiles. I'm going to, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you, amen, an anointing that Jesus had, the same anointing, the same power, the same life. In this word power, there is the word dunamis. It's where we get our Greek, where we get our English word dynamite. It means an explosive power, an explosive force. It's actually, it has the connotation of the force of an earthquake or the force of a hurricane. In other words, it's destructive to the kingdom of darkness. This power, this is why the devil fights you and I tooth and toenail about it. Because it brings great damage to his kingdom. The devil hates it. And this is why we should love it so much when believers get filled with the Holy Spirit. He hates it when any person gets saved. But you know what? We should teach it that it's a package deal. Get saved and get filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. He hates it when people get saved, obviously, because they're translated to the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. But he really hates it when they take that next step and get filled with the Holy Spirit, because they understand what they got. They become a destructive force to the kingdom of darkness. In other words, you become a threat to the devil. You produce the same life power that Jesus Christ had, because it is his, it's the same spirit that was upon Christ is now upon us, and it comes upon us to destroy the works of the devil, to enforce his defeat. That's why the devil will try to lie about it, talk you out of it, make you feel unqualified, lie about every, try to keep you from it. But I'm here today to tell you, this is clearly God's will for every believer. I'm proving it to you. Whatever happened on the day of Pentecost means it's God's will illustrated for all of mankind. His Spirit was poured out. He expects that what happened in the day of Pentecost in that upper room to happen in every church. Thank you for your enthusiasm today. Hallelujah. Somebody shout amen. Come on, it is truth. In other words, believers that are saved get filled with the Holy Ghost. And this word power is not only illustrated by the destructive forces of against the kingdom of darkness like a hurricane or a earthquake, but this word dunamis means that which, this word power that we translate power, means that which overcomes resistance. And how many know that you have a lot of resistance in your life that comes against you? I was talking to somebody the other day. They said, well, it seems like I take two steps forward and one step back. How many know that God wants us to keep on taking two steps, three steps, four steps? And I understand that I understand what they were saying, but I can just tell you, God wants us, hallelujah, just know this, when the devil starts pushing back, you got the power to overcome all resistance. You just need to know it and be reminded of it and use it. Here's what Jesus told his disciples concerning this as well. Luke 24, verse 49, Jesus had just risen again from the dead, and they had called upon him and made him Lord, because the requirement to be born again is Jesus rose again from the dead, and if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. They saw Jesus alive, and they said, my Lord and my God. What did that mean? They were saved. Now Jesus is telling them, before he's taken to heaven, he said this, behold, I send the promise of my Father. Anybody know what the promise of the Father is? the Holy Spirit. We're going to read this again in Acts chapter 1 again in just one moment. He said, I send the promise of my Father, the Holy Spirit, upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Notice he didn't say, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be converted. He didn't say, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be born again. He didn't say, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you can be saved. You know why? Because they were already saved. They're already called upon his name. He had been rose again from the dead. They saw him and he said, my Lord and my God. And so he said, here's what you're to do. You're to tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. The New Living Translation says it like this. And now I send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. Oh, glory to God. But stay here in the city until the Holy Ghost comes and fills you with power from heaven. Let me ask you that. This is not a trick question. When was that fulfilled? When did that happen? When did it happen? The day of Pentecost. What do we celebrate today? The day of Pentecost. What does it illustrate? Illustrates the will of God for mankind. It illustrates that 2,000 years ago, God had an appointment with man. He kept it. He showed all the world that he was giving the power of his Spirit to come upon every believer. It was his will to change them, not only from the inside, but come upon them to empower them to go in the world and turn the world upside down. Acts 1 verses 4, 5, and 8 again. Here we go, 4 and 5 we didn't read. And being assembled, this is right before Jesus was taken from them. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me. Verse 5, he said, for John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. How many know that happened on the day of Pentecost? And then he told them why in verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power. See, the devil wants you to be a weakling. He wants you to reject the power of God. He don't want you to have more of God. Come on, he don't want you to have more of God. But I can tell you what's on the other side of that door with the light on it is the Holy Ghost and fire. God has it for us all. Are we reminded if, you know, we have a butter covenant. We live under butter covenant, butter promises. I remember, you can just write this down for extra credit. Right? 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6, we were reminded by the prophet, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, God will turn you into another man. The devil don't mind you being you, but he hates it when you're turned into another person. In other words, you take on the power of God. You live for him. You talk for him. Amen. You lay hands on the sick and they recover. You do the works of Jesus through the power of God. Amen. So here's what we need to understand. If we would turn to Acts 2 and let's look at what happened on the day of Pentecost. Verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, remember whatever happened on the day of Pentecost. Whoo, I almost fell. Praise the Lord. I'd have just made one graceful leap. That's all. Praise the Lord. Almost, praise God. I'd been all right. I wouldn't go fall. I'd just jump, praise the Lord, and say, huh, praise God. Amen. That woke everybody up, praise the Lord. So whatever happened on the day of Pentecost illustrates to us this was God's will for every succeeding generation. This is God's will. The same way, whatever happened to them, it's God's will for us. Because in Passover, whatever happened then was the will of God for every person. Unleavened bread, first fruits, and now Pentecost, the will of God. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, remember, he met them. He told them to be at a specific place and wait for him. And when he comes, let me tell you something. Once he's come, we ain't got to wait no more. We just got to know what he's given and receive it. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And there suddenly came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as unto fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, I can hear some people now said, I was all right until you talked about that tongue part, Pastor Chris. Yep, and the devil was too. And the devil was too. He was hoping I wouldn't bring that part up. Because I'm going to show you in just one moment the benefits of being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. And here's one of the questions that people have. People have the question, hallelujah, can I be filled with the Holy Spirit and not speak with other tongues? Well, let me ask you this. Why would you want not to speak in other tongues? See, tongues is a gift that the Spirit gives. It says on the day of Pentecost, whatever happened on the day of Pentecost is God's will for the succeeding generations. It's not done away with. It proves this for every succeeding generation. Let me ask you this. You go to the mall and you buy a $200 shoes. You know, these shoes I got on here are not $200. But whatever they are, I didn't go up to the counter and say, I want these shoes, but I don't want the tongues. No, the tongues come with it. And here's what I want you to understand. The Holy Spirit, who are we to say, I don't want tongues? When God gave it as a gift of the Spirit, it's the gift that the Spirit gives, and it's for benefit. Amen. Who are we to say, I don't want that? So here's what we need to understand. There's five instances in the book of Acts when believers got filled with the Holy Spirit. All five instances, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. You say that again. Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. All five instances when believers were filled like they were on the day of Pentecost, they spoke with other tongues. All five instances. There may be other evidences of them being filled there, like prophesying, the rushing mighty wind, the fire that set upon them. There may be other signs that accompany it, but all of them had the initial evidence of speaking with other tongues. Amen. Therefore, it is a gift to our spiritual advantage. And let me share with you why we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Don't you see, what we're not up on, we're down on. This hasn't been done away with. God wouldn't have gave it, come on, if he didn't want us to have it. This proves that it's for every succeeding generation. Matter of fact, write this down. Just write it and look it up later. Extra credit again. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39 tells us that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for every succeeding generation. Amen. Now, here's what we want to do is we want to look at slide number 28, please, and three reasons for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Three reasons for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In other words, just like they did in the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured upon them. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit. It said they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Once again, many times people will say, I was all right till you talk about the tongues part, Pastor Chris, but I was told that was of the devil. Well, it's not of the devil. Somebody lied to you. You know, do you ever remember going to the honky-tonk or go to the disco or go to your pub or wherever the place that the devil was that you hung out at? You never heard nobody speaking in tongues. Surely if that was of the devil, they'd be somebody there would have been. No, but can't you see how the devil would come and try to distort the view of something that was to our advantage about God? I'm telling you the truth about it right now. Amen. And the bad thing about it is much in the church world, they'll try to talk you out of it, but I'm trying to talk you into it. Because the truth is, how many of you in here today, the hands will go up all over the space, haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues on a regular basis? Look at all the hands in here. Now, there's plenty that haven't been, but the majority have. Because you understand the power of this Spirit-filled life. That God does wants us to be born again, born of the Spirit, yes, but He also wants us filled with the Spirit for a purpose, for power. Number one, three reasons for the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence speaking of the tongues. Three reasons for, number one, power. We've already gone over that, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. In other words, for spiritual power. In other words, how many know when you're fiery hot for God, the flies, the Beelzebub don't want to land on a hot stove? They are that are filled to express God's will. You're filled to spill. It's for spiritual power. Number two, the reason for the baptism of the Holy Spirit is spiritual, is personal edification. Personal edification. Verse 20 is only one chapter. Says, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, you're praying in the Holy Ghost is praying in other tongues. Building yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, enables you to build yourself up on your most holy faith. In other words, the word build up there means to charge as a battery. How many know that? How many of us had a battery that went dead on you? Well, and what did you do? You either replaced the battery. Most of the time, you got a jump start. You got a jump start. This praying in other tongues is the power from heaven to charge as spiritual batteries. Because in this world, we're designed, all that we're giving out, all that we're doing, the things that we hear or see, is designed to drain our battery. One way we can build ourselves up is by praying in other tongues or in the Holy Ghost. It enables us to build ourselves. Wouldn't it be wise to build ourselves up daily? The Scripture says so. 1 Corinthians there at 14:4 tells us, he that speaks in the King James Version says an unknown tongue or other tongues. The reason it's called unknown tongues, notice, tongues is plural. It's more than one kind. I'm talking about receiving your initial prayer language when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. There's more than one type of tongue. Because it's tongues. But the kind that every person, every believer can receive by being baptized with the Holy Spirit is receiving a prayer language that through praying in tongues, not only can they build themselves up, but notice 1 Corinthians 14:4 says that he that speaks in an unknown tongue or another tongue. In other words, other than your known language. This is a heavenly language. It's not one you learned in your mind or in school. Come on. It's not a language of this earth as a heavenly language. And it's given by the Holy Spirit. The devil hates it because he can't understand what you're saying. But here's where God loves it. He said, because he that speaks an unknown tongue edifies himself, builds himself up. One translation says, he that speaks in another tongue advances his own spiritual progress. Now, how many know that it would do us well to advance our own spiritual progress? You better thank God that Pastor Chris advances his own spiritual progress, because you wouldn't like me without the Holy Ghost. Some of you say, I don't know if I like you with the Holy Ghost, but I can tell you, let me tell you something. You'd like me a whole lot better with him than without him. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, you know, I'm just playing. But no, I'm not playing about the part. You better be thankful, God. You know, I sit and pray or kneel and pray or walk and pray much in other tongues because I know that this is one means of spiritual edification. It makes you sensitive to God. You know, God don't talk to this peanut brain. You know where he talks to? He talks to your spirit. Now, the reason why you think that you hear something in your mind, because you can, because what's picked up, what God says to your spirit can be picked up in your mind, but it comes floating up. But God speaks to your spirit because spirit speaks to spirit. He is a spirit, and he speaks to your spirit. That's where he lives at. So why would he speak out here? If you're hearing voices out here somewhere, that's the devil. We renew our mind with the Word of God, so our spirit becomes sensitive. We pray in the Holy Ghost to make our spirit sensitive. And then as we're praying in the Holy Ghost, God will bring scriptures to our mind. And things will float up from our inner man to our mind and enlighten us and show us what to do. But it comes from the inside out. But God gives us a mean that we build ourselves up on the most holy faith. Now here's three. I could spend the whole time that we have left on this, but I must hurry. Number three, praying the perfect will of God. The reason why we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit is praying the perfect will of God. If I told you that there was a way to pray the perfect will of God, wouldn't you want to know what that was? This is it. Praying other tongues enables you to pray, not only build yourself up. I know when I'm praying about certain situations, or I'm praying to build myself up. I know it because I've done it so much. I know the difference between I'm building myself up or I'm praying about a situation. Matter of fact, you could pray in your own natural language, the Word of God, about a circumstances or situation. And then you could say, God, I done prayed as much as I know how to pray about this situation, but I still need some help here. I'm going to yield my tongue to the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to ask you to give me unction and utterance to pray, amen, about this situation. And just by faith begin to pray out that heavenly language as you do. How many know that you can pray out concerning the perfect will of God? Amen. I can tell you, you're either building yourself up or you're praying the perfect will of God. Either way. But how many know when you build yourself up, you are praying the perfect will of God? But you can pray about yourself, but you can pray about others. And this is one reason why you don't know what you're saying. Because if you know what you were saying, some of us would be in our... See, God's not waiting for you to get to some mature level before you fill with the Holy Spirit. Once you're saved, you're qualified. Once you're saved and you're hungry for more of God, you qualify to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And one reason why you don't know what you're saying is because if you knew what you were saying, you would stop some of your saying. Because God would have you praying about things about your future that scare you. Not only bring the blessing in your life, but bring you to a place of fulfillment to your destiny that would shock you. That was never designed to hurt you, but designed to be a blessing. How you guys doing? Be a blessing to the world in which God sends you. And you may not want to go. And God would have you praying for people that you may not gotten over with yet. Huh. God would have you praying for people that you maybe would not have prayed for. You say, well, the Holy Ghost used it that way. Sure, you use it that way. Because He ain't waiting for you to be perfect. He's just waiting for you to yield to Him. And if you will yield to Him, He can grow you up spiritually and begin to deal with you. Because in the middle of that, you don't have to know that you're praying for that person. But then God would remind you something about something to change in your life. And you say, oh, my God, oh. Woo, glory to God. Amen. Come on. God is trying to help us. He could show you the next business deal. He could show you the next step in your. Come on, all you entrepreneurs in here. Oh, my Lord. See, some of us think that it's just for us to go in the highways and the byways and preaching the gospel. It is for that, and it's first and foremost for that. But let me tell you something. Your first platform might be, you know, we got some entrepreneurs in here. Yeah. If you're a business owner, stand to your feet one moment. Or you're self-employed. Stand to your feet right moment. I call you blessed. I call you anointed. I call you having the mind in the anointing of God. And God could show you. Listen, remain standing. Because as you were doing your business, you say, well, I'm not necessarily going into highways and the byways. No, honey, they're going to come to you. They're going to come to you just like they come to this church. They're going to come to you, and that's your platform. In other words, you may go to them. Like, in other words, some of you entrepreneurs, you're putting in a pier. You're putting in whatever. So I'm sorry to pick on your brother. You're putting something up, but you're going to people. And then you realize, oh, this is my platform. This is my platform. And I can just tell you right now, God will do something in us. I call you blessed and increased in the perfect will of God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Now here's You're praying the perfect will of God. Listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2 said. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. You're praying to God. You're praying to God. Speaks not unto men, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. You speak mysteries. That word mysteries means divine secrets, God's divine plans. How many know it's wonderful to pray God's divine plan? Let me tell you something is. It was God's divine plan that you went to another level. Hallelujah. You have, brother. Praise God. Why don't you laugh at the devil and say, I'm going to. Praise God. I'm going to. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:27 says, I must hurry. Romans 8:27 says, I could just spend all the time right here. But it says 8:27. Oh, yeah. It says, he that searches the hearts. He that searches the heart. How many know that's God the Father? How many know when you're praying God the Father, you pray in other tongues? Here's what it's saying. God the Father is watching over your heart. See, the Holy Spirit's in you. He that searches your hearts, that's God the Father, knows what the mind of the Spirit is. For the Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So you can just, as you're praying in other tongues, praise God. The Father knows exactly what the Holy Ghost is saying, even though you don't. And He knows and brings to pass the perfect will of God for whatever you're praying for. That's why we must pray much in other tongues. This is, all right. Come on, somebody need to shout. God says these things so that we're inspired for more of Him and the gifts He gives, including the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But He also warns us of how this will be resisted by the world, even those in the church. Now, I hate to bring up the bad news, but I want to show you this. This is why the Scripture says this is fought. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. I know you're not fighting it, you're receiving it. Know this also, that in the last days perilous time shall come. It says, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now look at verse, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away from. Well, I'm a good person, Pastor Chris. I go to church. The devil goes to church. I am trying to be mean. The Bible warns us this is what's going to happen in the last days. There's going to be people that have a form of godliness, but not deny the power thereof. He said, from such turn away from. In other words, anybody that's denying, what is the Holy Spirit for? For power. They'll deny it. You don't need it. They'll criticize tongues. I'm not trying to be controversial. I'm trying to help us to understand. The Bible says, turn away from them. Or, you know, they're good churchgoers, but that's all they are. They ain't even been born again. And they think this is a social club or whatever. And it's all right, but as soon as you come in there and somebody start getting saved, someone get filled with the Holy Ghost or talk about being spiritual, you'll get the left foot of fellowship really quick. You get a size 10 between the goalposts really quick. From such, turn away from. Now, we'll go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. It goes on and explains. Come on, I'm helping you. For the time will come where they not endure sound doctrine. Let me tell you something. That what I'm teaching you today is sound doctrine. They will, but after their own lust, they will not endure sound doctrine. In other words, they won't put up with it. They'll pick up their goodies and I want to go where I want here. After their own lusts, heap themselves teachers having itching ears. Tell me something I want to hear. Give me some help, self-improvement stuff. But don't say sin. Don't talk about hell. Don't talk about something I'm going to have to do. Tell me all the fluffy stuff that's like self-improvement that I just feel good about myself. And verse 4 goes on and say, I'm almost finished. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall turn unto fables. We must know the Holy Spirit is the giver of every good gift. And the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a gift the Holy Spirit offers and gives to any believer wanting more of God. What are we talking about? Inspired for more of God. More of God won't hurt you. More of God will only help you. Who ever heard of anyone truly having more of God and it wasn't good for them or it hurt them? No, remember Jesus said the Holy Spirit only gave gifts that were to our advantage. And that's a gift the Holy Spirit gave on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit, well, the truth is, the Holy Spirit is working, Jesus said in John chapter 14, to lead us into all truth. He will lead, listen, the Holy Spirit's working in a dual working here. Listen, he's working to lead the lost to salvation. Every person that's lost, that's never truly been born again, he'll lead the lost person into a place that they want, desire to be saved. He will reveal man's need of Jesus Christ as the only means of salvation. He will confront them with religion. He will confront them thinking that they're a good enough person to get into heaven and that good works will get them there. The Holy Spirit will kick that to the curb. Because not because he hates us, because he loves us. Because he knows that no person can get into heaven by their own good works or their own merits. They don't go to heaven because they've been water baptized alone. They don't go to heaven, come on, because they are church member alone. They go to heaven because they've accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Being water baptized is right, but it comes after that. Being a part of a local church is right, but it comes after that. Jesus saving you and you accepting him is what the Holy Spirit is working to do to every lost person. And he might just use you to witness to that person that don't know him, that show the love of God, or the Spirit of God, just like it did to my wife the other day. Came, I got back in my truck, and she said something to me, and the Holy Ghost hit me. Because she was weeping for two men that had walked by a vehicle. I walked back in the truck and I said, did you hear what they said to me? And it wasn't something wrong. They said something to me on passing, and I answered their question. But Pastor Debbie was weeping in the truck, and when I walked in that door, I felt the Holy Ghost. She was weeping. She said, their souls are going to go to hell if somebody don't reach them. Well, she's right. And they were there in a moment and gone in a moment. But the first thing she did is says, God, send laborers across the path. See, it's our prayers that when we can't reach them, our prayers will help send others to reach them. It's not a finished cause or over because we didn't have that opportunity. We pray so that they're reached and helped. Praise God. But the point is, the Holy Spirit will lead the lost person to a place of being saved. That's revealing, I say it like this, he will reveal a person's need of Jesus Christ. He will reveal their need of him. He will reveal their lostness, their need of him, their way to him, and how to receive him. The good news is, God might use you. I say, God, I want you to use me. But the Holy Spirit, how many believers we got in here today? Here, okay, now listen to me. But the Holy Spirit, whether we want it or not, wants us to have more of God. And will cause us, the Holy Spirit will cause every believer to see their need of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit as Jesus commanded. See, you could be here today and you're resisting it. You've never been filled. And there may be a number of reasons why. You may be, you know, the devil used fear. He uses the lack of knowledge. I've destroyed the lack of knowledge in here today if you paid attention. Because that gave you truth. That destroys the lack of knowledge. But most of the time it's a fear issue. What if I don't? Well, let me just tell you something. God said you will. So just believe God. That's what faith. Faith is the answer to it all. But see, a lot of times people they get so concerned about things, and that they say, well, you know what? That's for somebody else. And the devil will talk about it. But I can tell you, here's what the Holy Spirit would do. You go home, you resist it, you go home. I can tell you, wake up in the morning, and that's going to be staring in your face. My words are going to be staring to you. Say, oh my God, Pastor Chris, you woke up with me. Praise God. No, the Holy Ghost did. Because he's trying to get you to your next step of God. Your next step. Your next step. Your next step. Every step in God is a right step. Is a right step. It's more, and everything that God has for you that's more is right. And I can tell you, for every believer, he loves you whether the question, listen, is not whether God loves you. Now, he loves you. But do you love him? If we love him, we want more of him. And we'll just say, I remember a number of years ago, a couple of years ago on a Wednesday night, I just got up one night and just said, I didn't even get a chance to preach. I said, you know, there's people in here tonight that need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, we had like, what was it, 7 or 8 men? You were one of them. That filled this altar was all men. Just come up right to the altar and said, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. Here's what my wife always says. When God moves on men, God is moving, man. That's God's, God loves us all. And in Christ, there's no gender. But see, men lead homes. And when you change a man, you just don't change a family. Come on. And God wants strong men and women. But I can tell you, and there is no gender in Christ. But I can tell you, there's something, but there is a head to a family. And when men take that spiritual responsibility and receive what God has, it gets off on the family. I tell you, 7 men stood right here and all got filled with the Holy Ghost just like that. And you said it changed your life. It changed your life. You know, as important as salvation is to us to change your life, the baptism is that much more, because it brings a greater revelation to us. It makes God more real to us. It makes God bigger to us. God can't be no bigger than he is, but he can be bigger to us. Oh, I'm trying to finish. Hallelujah. So the point I'm making is this. Come on, Brother Ryan, and help me. Here's the point. That the Holy Spirit is going to deal with you if you're a believer. For this next step. Now you can la 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 la. You can get up and go out, you can do whatever. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Pastor talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, you had to worry about it. God won't force it on you. But I can tell you, it turned the world upside down. It was so needed. God said, this is my appointment with man. If you want more of God, this is your next step if you haven't ever been filled. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, or being filled with the Holy Spirit, is for every believer. Not a select few, but every believer. Being saved and wanting more of God is the only requirements. So don't wait. It's to your advantage. And remember, whatever happened on these appointments, and one of them was Pentecost, reveals God's will for mankind. And being filled with the Holy Spirit proves that being filled with the Holy Spirit is God's will. And everything that we receive from God must be received. How do we receive it, Pastor Chris? See, I thought, can I tell you this, and we'll close and give the altar call. I thought, when I got saved in 1986, Pastor Devin and I was turned on to God. We came to this little church. It was a little storefront. And we were mainline denomination. Everybody say, thank God for the Methodists. I won't tell you what denomination I was part of. I just did. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, thank God for the Methodists. Wasn't that a matter with the Methodists? Matter of fact, thank God for the Methodists. A lot of wonderful people in the Methodists. Okay? We were part of that. This church had a Wednesday night service. We had family members that would come to this church. We had just got saved. But that Cornerstone Fellowship Church, that little storefront church, we had people praying for us. I'm sure there's people praying for us in the Methodist church as well. We had family members that invited us to come here, to come to this church on Wednesday nights, because that church didn't have it. When we have service on Wednesday night, when we come, we heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We heard about the Word. We heard about the Holy Spirit. And we didn't see that what there was people pushing back about that. Because the church we were going to, the pastor was Spirit-filled, but some of the congregation, some of the leaders of the congregation, were trying to hold him back. Does that happen? It happens all the time. Matter of fact, he would try to talk about the Holy Spirit, and they would call the DS on Monday morning and say, tell our pastor not talk about the Holy Ghost. That's the God's honest truth. How many know when you're saying don't talk about the Holy Ghost, you're saying don't talk about God, because God is the Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all three co-equal, co-eternal God. God, one God manifested in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we come on Wednesday nights. We were doing everything we could because we were hungry for God, and we heard speaking in the tongues. And you know what? When I heard about that, I can just tell you, I heard growing up, stay away from them Pentecostal people, those Holy Ghost people, those people that speak in other tongues, because that's of the devil. But let me tell you something. I knew that was a lie, because the moment I heard it, something here told me, you got to have that. That's for you. What was that? That's the Holy Spirit bearing witness in my heart that I need more of God. That was my answer. I knew that wasn't the devil. I knew that presence was the same presence that led me into salvation. It's just a deeper dimension of God. And so Pastor Debbie and I, when we realized that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit the same way you receive being born again, you do receive it by faith. You receive that gift by faith. You take it, you receive it. See, I thought that God was going to knock me in the head and make me speak in other tongues. That may happen, but that's not how the Bible says it does happen. And God's not going to knock you in the head, but there are people that have come under the power of God and come up speaking in other tongues. But the normal way of being filled with the Holy Spirit, see, I thought that I was driving down the road. I said, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. I open my tongue and think he's going to make my tongue move. But that's not how it works. You yield and receive. In other words, notice in Acts 2:4 it says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke. Who spoke? They spoke as the Spirit gave them the unction, the utterance, the ability. So there's going to be a want to on the inside. There's going to be a stirring on the inside, a want to on the inside when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We ask God to fill us. He'll fill us. He'll come upon us and we'll sense his presence on the inside. But he expects us to hook our tongue up with our heart. Hook our tongue up with our spirit. And as those syllables, those words will come up at our heart. Not in English. We just hook it because English comes from here. I'm not talking in English. I'm speaking in other tongues. But that heavenly language is going to come here. And when the moment I learn to hook my tongue up to my heart, that those syllables come flowing out. And as you release them and pray them, that language will flow. And it'll be the most beautiful thing you've ever experienced. It's a deeper dimension of God, more of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Christians praying.